right, if you would take your Bibles with me and open to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. For some of you, this may be a somewhat of a repeat message that was in my Sunday school class, but we're talking about almost 2 years ago when we went over this thought. So maybe if you're like me, you forget easy and need a reminder, but I know not everyone was in there. And as I was praying about what message to bring, I felt God leading me to just preach that God loves you. Sometimes we can get caught, as preachers, sometimes we can get caught in the do's and the don'ts and the get right and all these other things that it's good sometimes just to reflect. And I mean, all through this book is the words, "I love you," from God, all through it. And though we're turning to a passage of scripture that we count as the law, Exodus chapter 20, you know what's there, right? Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. And we consider that the law. But God showed me a truth, as I mentioned a couple years ago. We taught it in Sunday school class, but something that I heard from a preacher friend of mine, just a statement that he made that just opened up a particular law in here in my mind. It just opened it up. It kind of got like God shined a light on this truth that there's more to this than law. It's love. And hopefully, if you wasn't part of my Sunday school class, hopefully you will see it too. And if you was, just a good reminder that God loves you. I need that every day. I was about to say every now and then, but I need it every day just to know God loves me. His love, God is love, and his love never fails. I'm so thankful of that. I'm so thankful that God loves me, and I'm so thankful that I could tell others God loves you. As I mentioned, it's all through this book. You just open it, and any page you can turn to, you can tell somebody God loves you. God gave you the fact that you have a Bible. It's proof that God loves you. You have the Word of God because God wants you to know the blessings that he has for you. God wants you to know how you can have a relationship with him. And so he gave us a Bible. And so as you're there in Exodus chapter 20, if you look with me in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, or nor thy maidenservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the chance to be here tonight and the opportunity, God, that you've given to present your word and the truth that you've given me. God, I pray that you would help me. Father, fill me with thy spirit, God. I pray that you'd fill us, each of us. God, as you speak to our hearts, help us to listen. Lord, I pray, Lord, as I speak, that you would speak through me. And it's a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So often I've thought of this verse. As I mentioned, it wasn't until a couple years ago that this verse kind of took a different light to me. But so often I've thought of this particular law, it's one of the Ten Commandments, as simply that, a commandment. God said do it, so you better obey. And there's so many, especially in the Old Testament, there are laws that were given that there were strict consequences for. And this is one of them. This is a very strict consequence. If you continue reading through the scripture, and I believe in Exodus 31 even, you'll see where God reemphasizes this law and says that if someone was to dishonor this, that they would be put to death. It's a very strict law. And I thought, you know, thinking about it, like, what is it so special about a day that you're not allowed to work? That's what the Sabbath day was. It was a day that God says no work would be done whatsoever on that day. No work. It said not even the animals. You're not to have your animals going to do no work, and you know they use their animals. And so this was a day that God says you're going to keep this day holy. As you see there in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so I always thought of this as just the law. It's just the law. God said do it, and you got to do it, and God had his reasons. And God kind of tells him why his reasons were there, and we'll look a little bit into that. But this is kind of seen. If you really think about it, it kind of seems odd to make this one of the 10 commandments, right? One of the 10 commandments that God would give to Moses on Mount Sinai and carve this in stone, along with thou shalt not kill. You know, don't murder people. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery, but on the seventh day, don't work. And I'm going to carve that in stone, and I want you to take it down and tell all the nation, tell all the people, and I want all my children, all my followers to abide by this law on the Sabbath day. Don't work. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so it doesn't seem like it fits, does it? Doesn't it seem odd? We don't, and let me preface this by saying we can't understand God fully. God's given us his book, and he opens and sheds light on some things, but don't, you know, when we see things that are odd, we shouldn't think, well, we need to understand God. We don't have to understand God. We just have to obey God. But sometimes God will open, like I said, shed some light onto it. But sometimes if we take time to think, we think, well, why is that in the Ten Commandments? Why is remember the Sabbath day one of the ten? Some people think there are only ten. We know better than that. There's more than 10 commandments, but God literally carved this commandment in stone. So why? Why is this the law? Why was this such an important thing to God? And this was, as I mentioned, this was a very important law from God. So important that God said that, again, if you were to dishonor this, if you were that could defile this law, is the word I was trying to think of the word for it. In Exodus 31, he says, if you defile the Sabbath day, that you be put to death. And so it was like, why was that? So if you take a look at why this became law, to do that, let's go back to what it's talking about in Genesis chapter number 2. Because he said in 6 days, God made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and on the seventh day he rested. And that's why we have this law of remembering the Sabbath day. Genesis chapter number 2. And those that were in my Sunday school class a couple years ago, you remember we studied the book of Genesis all the way from Genesis 1:1, and we went through the book of Genesis, and so it was quite a while ago. We were back in Genesis chapter number 2, but when we were here, we were talking about this particular law, talking about the Sabbath day. We were talking about all the days of creation, but when we came to the Sabbath day, we mentioned what I'm teaching on this evening. Genesis 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So that is the beginning. That is why God sanctified this one day, why God made it holy, because we know the story of creation. This is something that we teach children here at the church, that you teach children, say, how many days did it take for God to create everything? And some people may say seven. You're like, nope, it's wrong. You know, it took 6 days because on the seventh day, God rested. He didn't do any work on the seventh day. So in 6 days, as we read there in Genesis 20, or in Exodus 20, verse 11, for in 6 days, God made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in it is. And on the seventh day, God rested. And so we know that story, the creation, and then the seventh day, and God, not only did he make this day holy, but really we base our schedule on this. I mean, think about it. We live our life by the week schedule, the seven-day schedule. There's 7 days of the week. This is Wednesday. Many of you, every Wednesday night, you come to church. Maybe every Wednesday morning, you get up and go to work. Every Sunday morning, you get up and you come to church. And Sunday evening, you get up and come back to church. And then Monday, you go to work. And Tuesday, you go to work. Wednesday, you go to work. And whether you work 5 days a week or 6 days a week, we live our schedule on a seven-day schedule. Where did that come from? It came from creation. That's where it started, that the people back in that day when God made that law, every seventh day, they couldn't do any work. So they lived that schedule. They worked 6 days, and then the seventh day, they were not allowed to work. That was a law. You could not work and do anything on that seventh day. You were to keep that day holy. Remember it. So they lived their life by a seven-day schedule, and we still do it today. Whether you're a skeptic, whether you want to say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in all this stuff, you live your life by a seven-day schedule. Why do you do that? Where did that start? We know, but they want to think differently. They want to, put God out of their mind, but we know where that came from. It would come from this very account here in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter number 2. But God rested on that day, so it made me think of why. You ask that question, I'm asking that question a lot because sometimes it gets an answer. What does that mean, God rested? Did he get tired? I mean, think about it. Did God get tired? God is omnipotent. In fact, in Psalms chapter 121, verse 4, the Bible says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So our God doesn't sleep, our God doesn't slumber, our God doesn't get tired. He is omnipotent. You know what that means? It means all-powerful. Why did he rest after 7 days or 6 days of work? Was it because he was weary? Was it because he was tired? We know that's not true. So why did he rest? Because the only answer it could be is because he chose to. He chose to cease from work on that seventh day. So then it brings the question of why would he choose to do that? A God who is a God of activity, a God who is always working. You've heard pastors say that all the time. Whether you see him working or not, he's working because he's always working. But yet there was a time recorded in the Bible that God said, I'm not going to. Right? There was a time recorded in the Word of God where God says, and not only did he do it and said, I'm not going to work, he says, I want everybody to remember the fact that on this day I chose not to work. I want everybody to remember it every week. I want you to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Why is that a law? And again, I want to bring to the fact that it's beyond law. Hopefully you'll see what I see in it, that it is love. Well, how do you get love out of that? Well, let's go through. So we see God did it. Now we ask the question, why did God rest? Let's think about what took place in chapter number 1, the six-day creation, right? I'm going to give y'all a Christian school test. Let's see. Maybe a Sunday school test. Let's see how well you all have studied and know your creation days. Let's put our brains to work. And you got your book open, open book test, if you want to look back at chapter number one. What did God create on day number one? It starts from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. So God made the heaven and the earth, and God made light. Day number one, right? And you could read it, continue on. The evening and the morning were the first day. What did God make on day number two? Anyone know? I'm hearing something, but the sky, that's right, and water. Well, the firmament, that mentions that, that made the firmament on day two, and he divided the waters from the waters, which were above the firmament, from the waters which were below the firmament. So God made the sky, and he called it heaven, the firmament heaven. And that was day number two. Day number three, what did God do? So God's working. He's busy. Evening and morning, and so day number three, God calls the what to appear? Not on day three. You're getting ahead. Someone's saying it. Dry land, the dry land to appear. And he called the dry land earth, and then on the earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and earth he caused green herbs to form. So he had dry land and vegetation life that he made on day number three. All right, day number four. Someone was already ahead, so. Day number four, sun, moon, and the stars. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars on day number four. Day number five, God started making life. Now, so isn't plants life? No. To a point, you could say they're alive, but they don't have a soul, don't have a heartbeat, they don't bleed. Plants are not life. But on day number five, God did create life. And what did he create on day five? Some of the animals, in particular sea animals and birds, air animals. So animals of the sea and animals of the air he created on day number five. And day number six, the last day of creation, God made what? He made man, and he also made land animals. So God's been busy. God's been making, it says it there in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 11. For in 6 days God made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in there is. So everything you look around in this world, that was created by God. God made that in 6 days. And you think of all of it. I mean, you look up at the night sky and realize on one day, day number four, God made all those stars. God made that moon. God made the planets. I mean, we can't even and count. We don't even know how many stars are out there. We keep discovering as our technology starts getting better, you know what we're discovering? More stuff out there. Stuff that we couldn't see before. It's beyond our eyes. It's stuff that we could not see out there. It just keeps on going and going and going. And God made it all. He was busy. But, you know, even with all of that, you think that broke a sweat for God? Really? You think that God just got it so exhausted that on the seventh day, he's like, I can't do anymore. I've been that way, Brother Brian. I've been that way where after a long one day of work, and I'm just like, man, I don't know. I got to sit down, brother. I can't do it anymore. Getting old. God's infinite, but he's not old. So what does it mean that God rested? And why? So when I think of that, God rested. Do you think that God just plopped in his easy chair and sat around for 24 hours drinking lemonade? What does it mean that God rested? But yet we know he did. God said, not only did I do it, I want you to remember the fact that I did it. What did God do? He rested. Is that what your Bible says there in chapter number 2? Verse number 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God rested. And so when you think of that, we kind of get our, maybe we just need to think about it. What does it mean that God rested? Did he just lay down and sleep? Did he sit in his recliner? Did he just twiddle his thumbs for 24 hours? What did it mean that God rested? To answer that question, and this is where it kind of sprung a light to me, what was the last thing that God created? Man. If you read in Luke chapter number 3, the genealogy of Jesus is mentioned. It's mentioned in Matthew, but in Luke chapter number 3, it's mentioned. And it goes on after he was baptized. And in Luke chapter number 3, verses 23 to 38, and that's the end of the chapter there where it mentions. Let's look with me, if you would. Look with me to Luke chapter number 3. As I mentioned, starting in verse number 23, it gets on to genealogy, and this was Jesus. Before that, he's getting baptized, and in verse 23, it says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli, which was the son of Matthat," and it goes on and on and on until you get to verse 38, "which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God." And so in Luke, it refers to Adam as the son of God. And we know that Jesus was the last Adam, also the son of God. The last thing that God created was his son. And we know he didn't get tired, so he chose to rest on the seventh day, which would have been Adam's first full day of creation. First full day of existence, I mean. He chose, and think about this, the God, the omnipotent, almighty God who doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber, chose to not do anything because now he has a son. And he could spend that day with no distractions. Nothing pulling at his time, nothing, even though God can do everything at once. He did this because he loved Adam. And he wanted Adam to know that. He wanted all mankind to remember from that moment on. Remember this day. Remember what I did. A God who works all the time, who's always working, says, "I'm not going to work because I'm going to spend this day with my son." I mean, it's amazing. We look at it, well, that's just God making laws and commandments and just lording over and being mean. No, God's saying, "I love you. I want you to remember how much I love you." That's something that's, we would say, is impossible for God to not work. He said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm going to spend that day with Adam. I'm going to cease from everything else." As it said, he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Everything else, so I can give my full attention. And that way he'll know he has my full attention. Adam's not going to be sitting there thinking, "God, are you paying attention to me?" "Yeah, I am. I'm not working right now, Adam. I'm spending this day with you. Because you're my son." All of creation. I mean, think of all that he did. The laws and the order and everything that he had set up, the planets, how they're revolving and spinning, the light that's shining, everything that God just made and put into the existence and the order that he set it up, he just put it all on the back burner and says, I'm not going to work right now. I'm going to spend it with Adam. I'm going to spend this day with him. It's all about our relationship with God. Again, so many times I've heard that law and I've read that law and I've seen it, and maybe a little glance, a thought would say, I wonder why that's a law. I wonder why it was so important to God. But I just never got it. I just always thought, well, it's just a law. It's just a law. It's just one of those things where you got to obey it and do it because God said it. But after God was showing me, you know what? It's not law. It's love. God's just saying, I'm asking you to remember it. And that first day was, well, that first Sabbath was God showing his love for man. And God's just asking every day after that, can you set aside one day to spend with me? One day where you don't have distractions. One day where you're not thinking about work and you're not trying to make money and you're not trying to do all this other stuff. Just one day a week to show me you love me. One day that you can say, this is a holy day. This is a day where everything else can be put on the back burner because I love God. And my relationship, and this is going to mean something to my God, my relationship to him. And so he said, remember it. Keep it holy. Remember this day and keep it holy. The first Sabbath showed God his love for us, and the keeping of the Sabbath showed man's love for God. Though this commandment, and if you study the scripture and you know the New Testament, this commandment was not repeated by our Lord in the New Testament. Every other commandment God reminded people of to keep those commandments. But this particular one is not mentioned. And we know that today we don't look at the Sabbath day as once they used to. That was the day they would go to the temple. Today we go on the first day of the week, and we do this in honor of Jesus rising on the first day of the week. And so we make the first day of the week a holy day, and it's not the same as the Sabbath day. And again, this was not one of the commandments that was mentioned. In fact, in Mark chapter number 2, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a cornfield on the Sabbath day. And if you know the story, you know what happened. They were walking through the cornfield on the Sabbath day in Mark chapter 2, and the disciples were picking the corn and were eating it. And the people said, why do your disciples do what's not lawful on the Sabbath day? You're not supposed to do any work. So picking the corn on the Sabbath day was against the law. And they said, why do your disciples do that? And in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, Jesus said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not about so much us keeping that law that God made us to obey the law. But God was saying, Jesus said it in his own words, this day was made for man. This day was to show man God loves you. God loves you. And I don't know who it in here that maybe needed to hear that, maybe needed to have that reminder. I think all of us do. As I mentioned, I need it all the time. Just a reminder, God loves me. And I'm so glad that God showed me this, that when I think of that Sabbath day now, and I think of that commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's no longer a law that was lording over people and saying, you better do this or you'll die. But it was more of a, remember, I love you. Remember that day. Remember that I chose to spend, to put everything else to side and not work because I love you. I love man. And it's just a day that, or time that we could show God we love him. You know, we don't keep the Sabbath in today's day. But is there times that you set aside where you say, you know what, that can wait? Money can wait. The job can wait. That TV show can wait. I just want to spend some time with God. Give him my full attention. I think today's age, that's a whole lot harder than it used to be. So many distractions today. Can you just put those aside? Not necessarily even a whole day. Can you give God an hour? Pastor's been pleading with us every week. Have you heard him? Can you pray 10 minutes? Can you pray 10 minutes that God would bless our church and our services? So hard, isn't it, sometimes? I mean, if it was a law that we had to give God a full day, many of us would probably already be put to death. But do you have some time to set aside to show God and remember that he loves you, and just show him back that you love him? I've heard it said, and you've heard it said, you know, how do you best spell love? Is it G-I-F-T? Some people think it is. How you spell it, you know. T-I-M-E. Do you give God your time? Can you even tithe your time? What's that mean, a tenth? Can you give God a tenth of your time? Or is it all for me? I'll give God a quick prayer when I eat or whatever. God showed us how much he loves us. I mean, what are we showing him with the time we give him? I also think of this, and I'll be done. As parents, I get so convicted of this, that the God who, again, it's almost impossible for him to not work, but yet he chose to spend time with his son and put all that aside. What excuse do we have to put things aside and distractions aside and to spend with our loved ones? Spend some time with your family. Spend some time with your children. Let them know you love them by your attention. Give them your attention. Give your family attention. Again, I get so convicted by this, because if God could do it, who is in control of everything at the same time, can say, putting that on hold. It's just about you right now. If God could do that, can't we? Can we just take a few moments and say, you know what, put the work phone down, put the TV remote down, put a book down, whatever it may be that's distracting you, and say, you know what, let me just spend some time with the ones I love. Give them my full attention, not be distracted. And that's why God commanded. Now, I'm convinced of it. That's why God commanded that day. Do not work. Don't have things that are distracting. Don't have things pulling at you to keep you from giving me your attention. I think people, they lost it along the way. I think I'm sure of it. The Jews lost that meaning of it along the way, to where they thought, you know, how dare you be picking corn on the Sabbath day? How dare you be helping this person on the Sabbath day? I mean, they were always after Jesus for doing things on the Sabbath day. I mean, they kept trying to accuse him. How do you heal that guy on the Sabbath day? How do you do this on the Sabbath day? And they lost it. It's about your relationship with God. It's even said there, as I mentioned, after that verse in Mark chapter 2, I guess it was verse 28, he says, you know, that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. It was made for man, and I'm Lord of that day. I wish I could really express, and there's no way I can because I don't truly understand it. Paul prayed for it, says, you know what, I pray that you would know the depth, the width, the breadth, the height of the love of God. That you'd have understanding of that. If we could truly get how much God loves us. It's no second too much, no minute too much, no day too much, no week too much to give back to him. Because he loves you. He loves you more than we could understand. And again, it's just over and over in his book. We could talk about laws and you ought not break the laws and you ought not, you know, do what's right and don't do what's wrong and all these other things. But if we really understood how much God loves us, it would sure help us not do wrong. It would sure help us because we don't want to break the heart of our Father who loves us that much. You know, that's one of the things as a child, probably the worst thing about doing wrong is knowing you break your parents' heart. You know, it's not so much as much as it hurts worse than the spankings you get. When you really see your parents hurting because of the wrong you do, it would just help us. It would just help us to know God loves us. God loves you. And again, I don't know who needed to hear it, and sorry for the inadequacy of being able to present just how much God loves you. But I know in my heart that God wanted me to share. Not so much as laws, not so much do's and don'ts. Just tell you, God loves you. Let's all bow our heads for just a moment. Before we pray and take our prayer requests, I'll just give you a moment to just be silent before the Lord and hopefully tell God you love him and as his word had told you tonight that he loves you. Let's just take a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. And Lord, I thank you for how you've spoken to my heart and relayed this truth to me. Lord, I know all through your words you tell me you love me, Lord. And I just never seen it in that verse before. And I thank you for expressing it to me and showing me, Lord. And I pray that you would help, Lord, as I spoke tonight. I pray you would have spoken through me, Lord, and just expressed to your people, Lord, how much you love them. Help us to realize that so we can love you more and do more for you, God. But, I just want to thank you, Lord, as undeserving as we are, that we know in our hearts that you love us. Help us to love you more. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.